6 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us tonight, 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show tonight. And look, we're going to do a different show tonight than we usually do here on the evening show, because this is a I want to say unprecedented. I want to say this is something out of nowhere time, but it's not, unfortunately. I mean, this is a situation and a time we deal with way too often in this country. And now right here in Philadelphia, we have protests going on that I just drove through to try to get here that are going on for days. And they're all understandable. I wish they wouldn't get violent. I wish they wouldn't lead to even worse things than you would hope for with just a protest. But that's where we're at right now. And I want to talk about it tonight because I have a lot of emotions on this. I think every single one of us out there has emotions on what is going on. I think unless you lived under a rock your whole life, or certainly the last 4 or 5 days, you have an emotion. 215-592-9494. Look, I wish tonight that we could be talking about, nonsense and sports and baseball trying to come back and Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, but we're not, because there's bigger things to talk about. And once in a while here on WIP, I believe it is our job to talk about those things. Sometimes it's our job to be a distraction, but I think with something is as big as what we have going on right now, it is our job, and I want to talk about this because I think that's the only way to help fix all these issues is to talk about them. And all I'm going to give you tonight, and then I want all your reaction, 215-592-9494. I'm going to give you my emotions tonight. My emotions, and then I want yours, because that's the one thing. I think we all see this as something that is wholly disappointing, wholly disappointing. But we all probably come at it from a different vantage point of emotion right now. Some of it's probably raw. Some of it's probably deep-seated. But there's emotion that goes into all this. And I'll just start with the emotions that I felt over the weekend. I started keeping a note on my phone because I just had a bunch of them. So I just started writing down and typing in like what I felt. I do that sometimes during games. You know, just I thought this, I thought that. And this was the weirdest time to write down my emotions, because this is something that it just hits. It just hits all of us in a different way. And here's what I have for you. Here's how I'm feeling, how I felt over the last, since last week when I woke up one morning and I clicked onto Twitter and I saw the video of George Floyd. And, once in a while you click something on social media and I'm not sure about all the sites, but Twitter at least has if something's graphic, it might tell you. And I clicked it and I watched it. And I watched a man. He was murdered. I mean, I watched a man murdered on my phone, and it was a long, slow, painful, disturbing video that I watched, and I haven't felt right since watching it. And I've been sad. I mean, I've been sad since I watched that video. I've been sad watching these riots. I've been sad watching the emotion, watching people who are truly affected by this, truly affected. Black people that feel that they are targets. Black people that feel that they are always scared of that, of what happened to George Floyd happening to them. I'm sad for all those people. I can only try to give my emotion and try to understand, but I can. I mean, I'm a white guy. I don't have those fears when I walk out my door, I get pulled over by someone. I don't have them. So I can only listen and try to understand, but I'm just sad. I'm sad that this still exists in our world. I have two little kids, two children that I'm trying to raise to be good people. And to be caring people. And I am glad right now, glad that they are 5 and 3 and we don't keep the news on the TV in the living room. Like, they don't know about any of this. Because quite frankly, I don't even know where I'd start to explain it to them. I don't even know how you could start to explain this to young children. And then if you have older children, you have to, because they see it if you see it. So I'm sad. I'm sad for George Floyd. I'm sad for his family. I'm sad for everyone out there that fears they're the next George Floyd, or they know the next George Floyd. I am sad. Tonight I'm losing hope, because maybe I'm naive on all this. And again, I don't pretend to be someone that I'm not. I am who I am. I'm a white guy that lived in New Jersey 90% of his life and has lived in either Maryland or Pennsylvania when I haven't been in New Jersey. I don't have a diverse background where I've been all over the world and seen all sorts of things. But I have held hope for a long time that time would heal these wounds and time would make people better. And I have always hoped that, the more generations we move past you know, a different time in our country. The more generations, even we move past the civil rights movement, the better off things would be. That was always my assumption, that every generation would be better than the one before. I think that's the way it should be in any country, any civilization. And then I watch that video and I see what's going on and I'm losing hope that that's the case. I'm losing hope that we are moving in the right direction. I want to believe that. And I did believe it for a long time. And now I'm losing hope on that. So I'm sad. I'm losing hope. And I'm also angry. And I don't get angry very often. It takes a lot for me to get angry. But I'm watching some of this is not just here in Philadelphia, but it's certainly happening in Philadelphia right now. And it did over the weekend. But every city across the country. And I'm watching the violence that has emerged. And I'm not going to sit here tonight and tell you how to feel. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you should do with your emotion. Because I can't put myself in your shoes. But I do know I feel anger when I'm watching people hurt each other and burn down buildings and loot businesses. I get angry watching that because that's not right. That's just wrong. And it's making the situation, which is already horrific, just have more scars on top of it. And other innocent people are being hurt in different ways. Not as bad, but different ways. So I'm angry watching that. I mean, this is our city. This is our home. And we're burning it down and looting it and destroying it in the name of a cause that is just so deep-seated and just terrible. So I have anger in me too right now watching all this. Because I'm watching things that don't have to be part of this become part of this. And now we're all on a new lockdown again because obviously we have to have curfews in cities now because the behavior over the past couple days. And the last emotion I have is I wish I could make a real difference. I don't know how to. I don't know how to help change this. Here's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to do the littlest I can tonight. For 4 hours, these phone lines are going to be open. 215-592-9494. You call in, you're on the air. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your emotion. I know talking this out can make it, you know, maybe make it a little bit better. I don't know. But I don't know how I make this better personally. I could do my best. I'm going to try to do my best to raise my kids the right way. And I could tell you, as a parent, and I've been a parent for 5 years now, no one is born with prejudice. Nobody. Nobody is born with hate. Nobody is born with any. You know, I don't even think kids are born with fear of other people. Same color, different color, whatever. I don't think they are. I've watched two human beings grow from, they could fit in my hand, to now real people. They don't have any of that. They are what they're taught. They are what you present them with. That's what people are. So I'm going to do my best to raise my kids the right way and to hope they become great people and maybe they can make a big difference. And I know from watching, my wife is a special ed teacher and we've lived in different parts of a few states. But she, when we lived in Maryland, she taught in I believe it was called a Title I area, which is an area with low income. And there was a lot of issues in the area that she worked in and it was right outside of Baltimore. And I went to a career day there once. And I was doing this. So I was there as like sports talk guy. And I'll never forget talking to these kids. And look, I mean, they didn't know who I was. It was just a guy sitting there in the corner at a table talking sports to third graders or telling them what I do, that I get to talk about sports and watch games and talk about them. But one of the other tables in the auditorium that day was a police officer. And I remember watching, I paid attention to the kids as they walked around to each person. You know, there was a police officer, me, maybe there was a nurse, whatever the different people were that were at this particular career day. And I watched it and I saw there was uncomfortable distance, maybe even fear is the right word, watching the kids walk towards the police officer's table. And that's sad. That is sad. Because in that community, those kids, their lives to that point, only in third grade, they had some sort of negative connotation towards a police officer already because of whatever experience they had in their life, whether it be a parent, whether it be where they lived, who knows. But that I experienced. So I don't have worldview where I could tell you all my different experiences with all these different kinds of people, and I can give you the right answer. I don't have the right answers. I wish I could do more. I feel like the most I can do is take your phone calls tonight, listen to you, and let's talk about this, because this isn't a political thing. This isn't a I'm white, you might be white, or you might not be white thing. This is a people thing that is not going away. And it should be going away. It should be getting better. And I watched the events in the last few days, and I don't feel like it's getting better. 215-592-9494. I'm sad. I'm losing hope. I'm angry. And I wish I could do something. I wish I could do something to actually help make this better in a tangible way. 215-592-9494. Here's the only rule tonight. You call in. You have an emotion. You will get on the air. I will take everyone's call tonight, because I need to know how you're feeling. I think it's the only way we get through this as a community in this moment is to talk about it, is to vent and tell me what you're feeling right now. And wherever you're coming from is welcome here on this show. 215-592-9494. Derek is in West Philly. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Derek. I wish things were better around here.
Yes, I do also. And, you know, I wanted to give you a different perspective and help you with the anger that you feel inside.
Go ahead, Derek. Tell me.
You have a grandfather or father, right?
I do. Yes, both.
Now let's listen to this. What if Mr. Floyd was white? Think about that. What if Mr. Floyd was white, and this America was racist, but it was reversed, and a black man had his knee on your father's neck and killed him, and because it was videotaped on the phone. And this has been going on for years. And they've been getting away with it for years. You would be real angry. And this is why people are breaking into places, smashing things, things like that that we can't understand. We are upset like, well, why are they doing that? Because they want people to feel their pain. I'm black. We have been taken advantage of for so long that we are just tired of it. And we get killed on TV, off TV, any kind of way. We used to be served and sold as slaves and put on boats and brought here to America as slaves. We weren't even human beings. And still not considered human beings. That's why they get away with that. When I say they, I'm talking about the corrupt cops, because all cops ain't bad. I got cops in my family.
Yeah, no, you know? You're right, Derek. You're right on that. And that's it's unfortunate, because I think now, and I mentioned when I went to a career day when my wife's school a few years ago. You know, the kids looked and I noticed there was a fear or uncomfortable. They were uncomfortable when they were near the police officer. And it's sad. I mean, that's sad, because like you said, and I think most of us agree with that. Most cops aren't like this. But the ones that are, I mean, they're making. And in that school, right. Derek, I'm talking, there were young black kids and they were uncomfortable around a police officer. It's a terrible cycle that just doesn't end.
It's terrible. But that's where it stems from. And that's where it originated from. But it's terrible. And another thing, a lot of people, my own people, don't want to hear me say this, but we got to stop killing each other. If we don't have respect for each other, nobody will respect our race. We got to stop that also. You got to stand up and do what's right and stop hiding behind things when it happens and stop using excuses. We all got to come together as people, because at the end of the day, we're people. And we got to get together and respect each other. And the same thing I give you is the same thing I want you to give me. And God bless. And thank you for having my opinion on yourself.
Derek, I appreciate you calling. And that part that Derek just said there about the anger that we're watching the people that they have, I can't be in their shoes. Like, I can't. I don't know what that's like. I never will. And it's when I watch it on television, I am just, I can't believe what I'm seeing, because we're destroying ourselves in the name of, I understand, a bigger cause and a more important cause. But my goodness, what a sad weekend to watch all this. And if you're here in the city, if you lived in the city, it's a scary weekend. Because whether or not you're participating peacefully or not, you're part of this, like just walking around, going to, into your apartment or your home or wherever you are, you could be in harm's way. I mean, I just drove here and I was right, you know, right near where everyone jumped on 676. And, you know, I was trying to get on the ramp at 22, 676, everyone's jumping on and the police with tear gas. I mean, it was an insane few minutes, and I was fine. But there are a lot of people out there who weren't caught up in all of this this weekend. 215-592-9494. Matt is up in Bethlehem. What's up, Matt?
You doing tonight?
I'm all right, Matt. What's up, man?
So, 1 second, take off speed. So, I really want to get this straight on what this is. A lot of people are really confused on what this is. This is not a white and a black thing. This is not even close to do with race. This is a people versus a blue thing. Police think they have too much power. They're drunk with power. I'm a former fugitive recovery agent, and they think they can follow the same laws and regulations that we had, which is basically from the laws of the wild, wild west in the 1800s, and it was never has been rejudicated at all, that we can apprehend by any means necessary. Because I guarantee you that cop thought the union was going to back him up and everything would be fine. Now he lost his life. His wife filed for divorce, and this morning he went to a maximum state prison. You know, so this people have to understand this is not a race thing. It is there is no such thing as African American, German American, Latino American. We're all Americans. This is not a race thing. It is the most of the cops think they are drunk with power. It happened again. I saw a video with a cop on somebody's neck for about 9 seconds until his partner moved his knee away. And it was a white person in New York in a riot. It's not a race thing. Please stop seeing people thinking this is race. It is not black and white. It is people versus blue. That's the way it is. They think they're not trained the right way. They could have easily used a taser. He was definitely outnumbered. He wasn't resisting. I mean, when I worked in a children's home, the first thing they tell you is do not apply pressure to the back or any above the middle of the spine and up. They first thing they'd say, show you that.
Well, you know what? And you could tell just, and unfortunately we watched this video, Matt, I appreciate your phone call. You could tell just by, you watched the video or if you've read about what happened to George Floyd, you know how horrific that was. I mean, that wasn't right. That wasn't justice. That wasn't being detained. Like that was over the top considerably for a long period of time. But I don't agree that this isn't a race thing because I think people are out there protesting and expressing this emotion because of the issues that we've had with race for a very long time. I don't disagree with the idea that the cops have to be better and that's a few, some. I don't know what the number actually is, but there are some that spoil it for the lot. I mean, there are a lot of great cops. Great cops. I mean, it's a reason why that when we're in trouble, that's who we call because they're going to protect us. But the problem is that there's some that either, like our last caller said, take their power too far, or it goes back to the racial lines and the racial issues that are here. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who do believe this is a race thing, and that's what, I mean, they're protesting years of injustice, not George Floyd. George Floyd is, I believe, a tipping point and one that, look, I have a lot of issues sometimes with social media and how everything is on video, but sometimes significant change happens because we see something. If we had just read about George Floyd, if it was just a story in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, I don't think all this is happening right now. I really don't. I think there's something about watching something awful with your eyes versus reading about it or hearing about it that spurs action, spurs visceral reaction. And that's what we're getting right now. We're getting visceral reaction. And look, I don't think any of this is a good thing. This is all sad. But the visceral reaction, if we can walk away from this and at least we could remember this for a long time, maybe. Things are changed. Will change a little bit. Maybe that's my hope. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. I want your emotion right now. What are you feeling? Because I'm feeling a whole gamut of emotions tonight. From anger to sadness, I'm losing hope. And I just don't know what to do to help. I don't know what I can do to make any sort of tangible difference. I wish I could. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls, your reaction as we talk through what is a very difficult time in our country or and obviously right here in the city of Philadelphia. 215-592-9494. Joe Giglio with you, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you, Sports Radio 94 WIP. We've got Tucker behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. As tonight, we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk. We're going to talk for the next 3.5 hours because that's all we could do tonight. I want your emotion as you watch all this play out. Whatever it is, I want to hear it. And I gave you some of mine. I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm losing hope here. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to, as a white guy living north of Philadelphia, I don't know how to make any of this better. I'm not a police officer. I'm not an African-American man. I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what my role is. And I think we all should want to make this better. All of us. This shouldn't just be, well, you need to be better and you need to be better. This isn't just about police officers and black people. This is beyond that. This is a people issue. None of us should be okay with what's gone on and what's gone on for a long time. We all have to make this better. And I just don't know where to start. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Joseph, who is in Glassboro. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Joe. I think it's fair to say that everyone is sad, angry, and confused, honestly. This is just it's hard for everyone. About 150,000 people die each day. And getting a glimpse into one of these deaths, the way that this happened, it's really jarring. But it happens each day, and with this virus shutting many families down, now we finally get face to face with what's going on, and it's a lot to take in. It really is.
Joseph, it is, and you know what? I think what you just said there about how we've all kind of been locked up. I think it's part of the raw emotion coming out because people have been locked in their homes for 2 months. People are out of work. I think you have a lot of frustration, anger, and then you throw this on top of it, and I think it's a perfect storm for. Some really, troubling things we've seen in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's a complex situation. But I just wanted to add one thing to the pot, and then I'll just get out. But for those who are just entering into this world of police brutality and racism and systemic racism at that, it's so important right now that while this is so fresh to educate ourselves the most we can and keep it ingrained in our head. I mean, I've been listening since the midday show, and that's the biggest thing with maybe this is going to blow over in a couple of weeks. And no one wants that. We want to take this seriously. We want change. And honestly, there's a couple of good films out there. I would challenge you to look into, like When They See Us. It's called When They See Us, about the Central Park Five. You can find that on Netflix. Another movie called The Hate They Give Us. Another movie called Just Mercy, which was on a real man, Walter McMillan, who had unjustly died as well. And then another movie called Fruitvale Station, which was a guy, Oscar Grant, also police brutality. So those are just some things you could look into. I'm a Hispanic male, and when I tell you I cried when I saw each of these films, just seeing the reality of it, these are people who actually died, and here we are again, another man just unjustly killed. So if you have the time to watch those things, Joe, I would suggest you watch them.
Well, I appreciate those suggestions. I'm going to watch those, Joseph. I appreciate it. Here is the part of all of this that is so difficult. That man, like watching the video of George Floyd last week, and I know we're probably all different. I know just from my house. So my wife, she knows what happened. I told her. She read the story. She read the headlines. Like, she understands the facts of what happened. She won't watch the video. She just won't watch it. Some people have a different tolerance for watching these things. They'll watch the news, and the news will give you whatever is, they're not going to show 8 minutes or 2 minute clip of what happened to George Floyd. They're going to tell you about it and maybe give you a small clip or a picture. But I just know for myself, I had to watch it. I felt like I needed to see that so I could truly understand what happened. And look, I think all of us, the more time we spend on the internet, you see things that are not pretty, whether it's the way people talk to each other or it's a violent act or whatever it is. But I got to tell you, I've never seen anything like that and hope I never do again. Because it was beyond anything. Like, I still can't find the words to say what I felt watching it. It's one thing if there's we know about shootings happen all the time and there's a violent act and it's quick and you can almost compartmentalize with, like, that was an accident, that maybe that was just, I acted rashly in a moment. That wasn't what we watched last week. That wasn't a rash, spur-of-the-moment mistake. That was a deliberate action for minutes upon minutes to take someone's life away. And then I think if you watched it like I did, we were all going to have that emotion. And listening to that man say he can't breathe, it was just horrific. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Henry in Middletown. Henry, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Henry, what's on your mind?
Yeah, man, I just wanted to say, I think when I came on, you were saying you didn't know how you would, you know, explain to your kids about what's going on. You know, I don't know how old they are.
Yeah, they're only 5 and 3, Henry, so I think right now I just, you know, it's too much to even bring up. But soon, you know, soon it won't be.
Yeah, because there was a point that I did today with my two daughters, 9 and 7. And I let them know, you know, about how things have been here in the United States. They're not from here. They weren't born here. They're, you know, I'm in an interracial marriage, not white, but she's Asian. So I'm trying to explain to them what happened in the United States and what's been going on. And the thing that I was trying to tell them is, even though one or two people tell you or call you a certain name, everybody's not like that. You know, all white people aren't, have that ignorance. I'm an ex-military guy. One of my best friends in the military. I know a lot of people have been saying it, but I had to change it. He was a white guy, and he changed my perspective because being from here and the things I went through before I got in the military and some that I did experience, but when I met this guy, I kind of had a different outlook. All white people aren't bad. It's how we're being brought up. We go way back to, the colonial area, the era when all this here stuff was started, you know, about slavery, the inequality of social and economical, the imbalance. Those older guys have been teaching their families, and it's still happening today. Until we can weed out some of these guys and, you know, start to change their mindset on what we are about or what the minority folks are about, black, Hispanic, or whatever, you know, I think it'll come a change. They have to learn to mingle, interact with us. Some of them don't want to do it. And as long as they don't interact with us as a society, then we're not going to move. We're not going to change because they want to stay separate. You know, so for me, you know, I appreciate what you guys been doing. Y'all right now is at the forefront of this here, bringing out all these social issues, the things that's been happening, and it's very appreciated. I don't want you to think that, you know, I know y'all been hearing it all day, but for me, I'm an older guy, so I just really like, I appreciate what you've been doing.
And well, Henry, well, we
a great job.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate you listening, and we appreciate, you know, look, I always think of WIP as, this is more than just the place where we yell about the Eagles after the game or debate Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. Like that's a very small part of what WIP is, the way I look at it. I look at it as this is a place where we all come together and we're together and we talk through this stuff, whether it is about the quarterback of the Eagles or it's about what's happening in our city or what's happening, you know, in our neighborhoods. That's what this station has been here way before us, and it'll be here way after I'm not sitting here anymore. That's what WIP is. So tonight is a night where I feel like this has to be the conversation. This is what we have to talk about. And maybe in a small way it'll help. And what was just said there, it's definitely part of the truth that it takes time, and this goes back to the beginning of this country and it hasn't gone away. I just, what's frustrating for me is, and I feel hopeless on this now, I thought it would keep getting better. That's what I told myself as I was a teenager and into becoming an adult. Like, all right, that was ugly. That was a bad incident. But that's there were more back in the day. It's getting better. Every generation will get better and better. And I'm starting to doubt that. I hope it's still true. I mean, I hope by the time I'm an old man and my kids are adults and I have grandkids that we're not having another one of these in Philadelphia or, you know, or whatever, in any city in America. That's what I hope. But I wish I had confidence that we were getting there, that we were turning this thing over. I really wish we were getting there. Sean's in Burlington. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
I'm all right, Sean. What's on your mind?
I'll tell you what, man. I'm on the same page as you, 100%. Same page as you. I'm upset. I'm disappointed. I'm sad. I'm angry. It's crazy, man. It's, you know, this stuff shouldn't be happening. But I'll tell you what. I just found out a couple hours ago. I'm an electrician in Local 98 in Philly, and I just found out a couple hours ago. I'm off for the week, unless I hear otherwise, because I can't be. It's unsafe.
Wow.
You know, and it's just, you know, it which angers me even more. You know, it's like, come on, guys, can't we just protest and do that and that'll be that, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's Sean. I'm sorry. You know, you can't work this week, and obviously it's for your safety, and it probably the businesses you could go to, and you know, they're not open right now because of all this. And Sean, I appreciate it, and I'm sorry that happened. I mean, there is fallout from all of this. Like when I watched the videos of, you know, the windows being broken and business being, and it's on TV in front of me right now. Business is being broken into. Like I feel for that collateral damage too. And look, I can't put myself in the shoes of anyone out there that is angry and feels like they're at a breaking point. And I don't know what that's like to feel like at a breaking point where I'm just going to be angry and I'm going to act out and do anything I feel like because I just feel like there's no way out. I don't know what that's like. And I don't think that the situation we're in as a country right now is helping this because, hey, there's 40 million people out of work. So I understand if there's someone or people out there that feel like, boy, I got to do something that may not be right because I have no choice. I mean, there's a lot that plays into this. But I also feel for that person, too, just called in. He can't work this week because of how violent this became because of what happened here. 215-592-9494. It's disconcerting that we are at this point, and every time one of these happens, and there's far too many, and we know the names by now. I remember when I was a kid, Amadou Diallo was the name when I was a kid. That was the man that was shot, like, you know, upwards of 40 times by police officers in New York, and he wasn't even armed. You know, and every time this happens, people say that things are going to change and we're going to move past this, and then another few years later, here we are. This one does feel different. I don't know if it's the video. I mean, that's my assumption and feeling that the video is different this time because we all watched it. It's almost like we were all there. But every time this stuff happens, people say, oh, it'll be different. It'll be better moving forward. And then it's 2020. We're still doing this. Scott is in Collegeville. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm all right, Scott. What's on your mind tonight?
Good. I want to throw a little spin on the discussions. I've been listening the last few days. My wife and I were watching, you know, what happened. And I think you're right. I think that the video, the listening to him cry out, it was really different. But I just left a friend of mine, dropped him off. He's a decorated war vet. He's black, and I won't say his name out of respect to him, but he's first in everywhere. And the last 15 years of his 28 years of service. And he's fought for the right to not be discriminated against. And I own a real estate brokerage. I'm a discount broker in Collegeville, and most realtors know me. And I'll probably recognize when I say that. But the point is that I see every day potential situations of discrimination in housing. And it's as horrific as things are right now. With what happened, and it's happened over and over again. I talked to my friend, and he says every day we get discriminated against. You know, these are just the flashpoints. He's a well-spoken man. I'm working with his son right now to try to find him a home. And Joe, just picture this: he's been discriminated against the last three landlords. Now picture yourself. I don't know, Joe, if you own a home or
I do. Yeah, I'm a homeowner.
Okay, you looked for that home for a while, correct?
Yes.
You just jumped in there. You found that perfect home, and you put a bid in, and you got it. What if you turn around now? You're black, and you found that perfect rental situation. And these people are really, really solid people, and three landlords turned them down.
That's wrong. It's wrong. I mean, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong, and it has. But when we talk about what has to change, Joe, this has to change. I mean, when we talk about racism, the flashpoints we always see, and you know, these things are horrific. And I really feel for the Floyd family, and God forbid it's going to happen again. But every day across the country, blacks are getting discriminated against, and it just, the whole situation has to change.
It does. And Scott, it has to change from top to bottom. And Scott, I appreciate the phone call and I appreciate your perspective. And that's another kind of leg to this, that it's obviously, and Scott is right there. It's not what happened in Minnesota is not just one thing and everyone loses their mind over this. It's more than that. And as bad as that was and as horrific as it was, that was one moment. And the people out there that are protesting and frustrated is because it's years and years of it. Years and years. 215-592-9494. I want your perspective tonight. I want your emotion. Like, what are you feeling right now as we watch all this? It's now here in our city and in a significant way for the last three nights. And we'll see what tonight brings. Hope everyone out there is safe wherever you're going and whatever you're doing. But it's here now. That this moment happened in Minnesota. It was horrible. Horrible. Like, your stomach churns watching it. And it was a moment that I'll never get that out of my head. Like, I want to not see that again, but I know I need to so I can know. 215-592-9494. Your emotions on what is a very, very difficult time right now in our country. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. And tonight we're talking about our emotions, and I want to hear yours. I want to hear the emotion you have right now as we watch this play out in our country, play out in our city. My heart goes out to George Floyd and his family, because what we all watched last week, and this is, I think, no matter what your background is, that should have broken you down to your core. I mean, that is how horrible that video was. And if you are a black person, it probably stung and hurt 10 times more than it could me ever, because it's just different. And I understand that. But I was hurt by that, too. And I think anyone with a soul was hurt by that. And now, frankly, I'm not surprised what we're seeing. I'm not. I mean, I am disappointed that there's so much destruction and looting, but I'm not surprised that there's protests, and there should be protests, because we have to make a change. We have to. I'm sad. I am disappointed. I'm losing hope, too. I'm losing hope that we're gonna change for the better in this country and move past these things. I used to believe, and a part of me still wants to believe, that with every generation, I'm 33, my kids are 5 and 3, that I want to believe that my generation, 30 year olds and 30 to 40 year olds, that we as a whole are better at this, and tolerance and understanding each other than maybe our parents were, and our grandparents certainly. I want to believe that. And I want to believe my kids will be even better at it than my generation is. But every time we watch one of these, every time one of these stories comes out, every time one of these, every few years or more, I mean, it's obviously more than that, but it becomes national news like this, I lose hope on it. And I just wish there was something that I personally can do. And I don't, like, I'm not a politician. I don't have the kind of reach that I could enact, you know, legislative changes. But I do tonight, at least, especially this evening. I have this. I have a platform here. I have a microphone in front of me, and I can take your phone calls. And maybe there's someone out there listening, stuck in traffic as they try to get protesters off 676, which I was a part of that, driving here today. Maybe there's someone listening that can enact some change. And whether it's this show or it's watching this or it's something over the next days and weeks, we'll click with someone to say, we have to make change. We have to. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Steve, who is in Northeast Philly. Hey, Steve.
Hey, first time, long time. Thanks for taking the call. I called to basically try to give you some hope. I think we need to put things in context. We had a civil war. There was slavery, and there was a great cost of life. And, you know, we fought a civil war, but there was progress. We ended slavery. And, you know, 60 years ago, there was a civil rights movement, and it was a painful, ugly thing for the country. But, it, you know, and Martin Luther King died, but it resulted in progress. And, you got to put it in perspective. We have serious systematic problems in this country, and it's not something that's going to be solved, you know, in a generation. It's going to take a long time. This was necessary. America is not pretty. It's an experiment, but this was necessary to enact the change that needs to happen. And unfortunately, there's always victims to get there, and we have to respect and honor those people. And the other thing I would point out is that if you look at the crowds that were out there protesting, you saw 60 and 70-year-old white people wearing masks but putting themselves at risk to fight for the rights of other Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And this was really emotional. And I just want, you know, African-Americans should know that white people are with you. We fought in the Civil War. We fought with you in civil rights, and we're in the streets with you now. And, you know, that's, I guess that's my point, is that we need to keep fighting. Killer Mike did a speech in Atlanta to calm down, you know, the situation down there. And I'd advise everybody to go on YouTube and go on, Twitter. And
it was, Steve, watch, it was an incredible, listen. It was an incredible speech. Incredible. I sat there and like, I didn't know, I'll be honest. I didn't even know who he was before this. I don't listen to his music. I didn't know who he was, but I was captivated listening to that man. I mean, that he spoke with such passion in his voice, and he spoke in such a way that like you couldn't help but listen to him, like really listen to what he was saying.
Right. And, you know, also the stories, the testimonies of grown men, you know, losing it like I'm losing it, telling their story. And so my point is America has a heart. We get it right. It's not pretty, but it takes a while to get there.
Steve, I appreciate the phone call. And the one thing Steve said there is, I mean, he said a lot of things, but one thing that is true is there are a lot of people out there protesting right now. And that's, and not every one of them is coming from the same place. I mean, I'm looking at them on my screen, on the screen in front of me on the TV. They're not all black people. They're not all white people. They're just people. You know, people are marching together to try to change this. There are a lot of people. There are protests in 140 cities in America. That's saying something. There's a lot of people out there that are tired of this. And a lot of people out there who are heartbroken after watching what happened to that man in Minnesota. I mean, that's true. Unfortunately, it doesn't take many to ruin it again. Like, it just takes one or two or three or four or five bad situations to happen, and we feel like we're back to ground zero, even if there are more people overall that want the right thing. Is this Kanan? Is that who's up next? Kanan, what's up, man?
How you doing today, Joe?
Good, Kanan. What's on your mind?
Well, first I want to say thank you to you for actually giving us a platform to speak on. Not too many people are doing it, and I appreciate you for giving me that. I was just there on 672. I had to, you know, turn around and go a different route back home. But I want to say that what happened down there with George Floyd, four officers were immediately fired, but only one was still charged. That tells you something, that something is clearly still off. Why aren't those other three officers yet to be charged?
Yeah. Kanan, they, I mean, in my eyes, they were complicit. They watched and allowed him to do that.
It's, to me, and people ask me, I'm 20 years old. I'm 20. I'm black. I'm 20 years old, and I still, my major is criminal justice, and yes, I still want to be a cop. I want to be a cop because I still want to make a difference in my community. I have family members that's officers. To me, it's me making a difference in my community. I don't want to be a cop that have power over anybody else. I want to be a difference maker. I would love to be out there in my uniform and marching out there with those people taking the knee. It's, for me, it tears you apart. It makes you cry watching everybody run through everybody's business. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. It really, really is.
The whole thing is, Kane. And look, I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening. And I wish you luck, and I'm rooting for you, man. And I can't wait for you to be one of the police that we have in our community here, and you keep us safe. I mean, that and that's the Kanan, that's part of the sad part here is, you know, I think for a lot of kids growing up, they don't view the police as people that could keep them safe. They view them as people that could be their enemy, and that's it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. But again, I thank you for giving us a platform to speak on.
You got it, man. I appreciate your phone call. Yeah, I mean, look, I'll never forget watching those kids when I was at their career day, like five years ago now, maybe longer than that. But they had, maybe distrust is the right word, in their eyes for this police officer. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe they knew him. Maybe they'd seen him in their community. Maybe that police officer had, you know, been part of a difficult situation in their community. I have no idea. Or maybe they never saw him before and it was just the uniform he had on. I didn't know. But, like, they were 8 or 9 years old, third grade. I mean, these are children. They're basically babies. And they have distrust of the police. Like, that, it starts there. It starts there. That, like, we got to stop that. I don't know how to change the mind of someone who's in his 60s or 70s or her 60s or 70s if they have a feeling towards someone else. I don't know how to change that. But we can change the next generation. We can change that. Somehow, some way, we have to. 215-592-9494. Your emotions, your feelings right now. And if you're out there, you just drove through it, or you're somewhere in the city, tell us what's going on out there. I know when Tucker and I came in tonight, it was not easy to move around. I mean, the curfew is out now. I don't know if that means that people are going to listen or not. My guess is probably not, based on the last couple of nights. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls, your emotions after what has been a very difficult week, and one is now extended to our city here in Philadelphia. And when we get back, I'm going to bring up a situation and a person that I thought about a lot over the weekend as all this played out, because I think history is going to remember this person in a way different way than he was thought of in the present. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 702 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. I hope everyone out there tonight is safe. If you're traveling throughout the city, I know there's a curfew out there. I don't know exactly what that means and if people will follow it or not, but we know over the past couple of nights there's been a lot of upheaval here in Philadelphia and really across the country, and it's all for a very sad and really just terrible reason. That was George Floyd, what we watched last week. If you watched that video, if you have a soul, you were hurt. No matter what color you are, you were hurt if you had a soul. That's how bad that was. And I've just had so many emotions last week or so watching all this play out, from anger to sadness to I'm just despondent and losing hope here that we're going to be better as people and going to be better as Americans and figure this out and be kind to each other. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do as, you know, me. Like, I don't know where to go to help. I mean, the only thing I try to do every day is just try to do the best I can to make sure my kids turn out to be good people. So, like, the next generation, at least I send two out there that are good people. But, boy, this is tough. And I want your emotions and how you're feeling. 215-592-9494. Quickly, before we go back to the phone line, I just want to throw this out. I saw over the weekend the NFL, most leagues or most teams are putting out some sort of statement. Certain players have. We know Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz really started the drumbeat of athletes doing this, and that spurred Ike's comments on Friday, and it was a great job by Carson. And then Zach Ertz after that, and we've seen a lot of players now put out a statement or a feeling on all this. But the NFL as a whole put out a statement. I think it was on Friday or Saturday, and they got roasted for this, and I'll tell you why they got roasted. Here is the NFL statement they had. There was one part of the NFL statement that people were really, really, really upset about because it was hypocrisy to the nth degree. So here's what the NFL put out in a statement here. NFL family is greatly saddened by the tragic events in our country. And it went on for a little while. They put some names, including George Floyd, of people who have lost their lives here. But it was this one that got people upset. As current events dramatically underscore, there remains much more to do as a country and as a league. These tragedies inform the NFL's commitment and our ongoing efforts. There remains an urgent need for reaction. We recognize the power of our platform and communities as part of the fabric of American society. And of course, you read that and you have to recognize how the hypocrisy in that, because Colin Kaepernick was in essence, blackballed from the NFL. He was removed from the NFL because he was bad for business. That's it. Now, even if they want to let him back in now, he's older. He hasn't played in a long time. Who knows? But in the moment, at the age he left the NFL and never came back, you cannot find an example. I promise you, I looked. You can't find an example of a star quarterback who led a team to a Super Bowl still in his 20s that left the NFL for non-injury issues. You cannot find it. It does not happen. Those guys have careers in the NFL, and Kaepernick didn't. He was thrown out of the league because owners didn't want backlash. They did not care about social justice. They didn't care about the being part of the fabric of American society. They care about business. And I think it is such a juxtaposition to watch. And think back to Kaepernick silently protesting on a knee to what we have now. I mean, I could not think about it over the weekend because, my goodness, that what Colin Kaepernick was fighting is what happened to George Floyd. It's injustice. And he was met with resistance. And I hope as the years go on, we have a very fond memory of what Kaepernick tried to do. I think it's one of those things where history will remember it way better. Him and what he tried to do and what the message he tried to put out there, then he was met in the moment because he was a divisive figure, very divisive from the moment it happened. I couldn't help think about Kaepernick throughout all this. 215-592-9494. Your thoughts, your emotions as all this plays out across the country, but especially right here in our city in Philadelphia. Q is in Wilmington. Hi, Q.
Hi. I appreciate you, everybody else said, giving us a platform to speak on, but me speaking from an African American standpoint, I feel like we're angry, like we're hurt. A lot of emotions is going on. We're lost, and like a lot of people just want answers. So I feel like it's not a police versus a black person thing. It's a racism thing versus all people. Like it's just racism in general. And I feel like when you said you had you have children that are 5 and 3. And it's a difficult situation to talk about. It is, but it's a conversation that needs to be had. So, like, just letting your kids know that all people should be loved of all colors. It doesn't matter what race you are. Everybody deserves love and to be treated fairly and equally. And I just feel like that's what all people want. And like Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So it's now a revolution. People have tried kneeling. They have tried petitions. They have tried to do it peacefully, and it's not working. They're not getting no answers. Who do you call when you can't call the police to protect you? Like, literally, I was driving from Maryland yesterday, and I was terrified for my life, driving so late at night in back roads, being black, and you shouldn't have to be scared to be who you are. And at the end of the day, I feel like people are looting because they're hurt? Yes. And there's also people out there looting because of self-reason or self-gain. And do I think that that's okay? No. But people are hurt and people are showing that. And I feel like you said, as a white man, you would never know how it feels to be black in America. You would never have that threat of going outside and feel like you're going to be shot because of who you are, what color you are. But as an African-American, it's a fear for us every day. And just being a color shouldn't make you different from anybody else. So I feel like people are angry, they're hurt, and our ancestors built this country for free. So it's people over property. If people are going to make a statement, they're going to make a statement. So I'm not necessarily saying looting is the right way, but people are hurt, and they feel like that's the only way to get through to people, for people to help them. And if the government's not going to protect you, then you have to protect yourself.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, Q, what you said there about after all these years, I mean, it's still going on. That's so sad. I mean, you shouldn't feel that way. Like, when you're driving home in the United States of America, you shouldn't feel unsafe. But I understand you do. I mean, I was driving in today, and I heard Ike talking about this, and he feels the same way. I mean, he's not an everyday person. He's Ike Reese, who used to play for the Eagles, and even he would feel unsafe or have that feeling in the pit of his stomach if he's pulled over. It's sad.
Exactly. And I feel like people use racism like, oh, get over it, so many years ago. But racism has not gone away. It's something that's taught. People teach their kids young how to be racist, and that's something that people have to deal with. Teach your kids to love people of all colors and just love, period. And I feel like that's what we're missing. That's the change that we're missing. And it's never going to go away if people don't
stand up and make a change. And I'm not just saying black people, I'm saying all people. If black people have friends that are of different ethnicities and races, you should stand up with us, stand with us, because if we're your friends, don't just be our friends behind closed doors. Be our friends when it matters.
Yeah, and this does matter right now. Q, I appreciate your perspective. You stay safe, and I appreciate you calling tonight, because that we need to hear this. I mean, that's what tonight is for. We need to hear how you're feeling. And whatever, you don't have to just be someone who has been adversely affected here. You don't have to be someone that's protesting. You could be black, white, or whatever. I want to hear how you're feeling. This is beyond just this side, that side, police, African. This is everyone. We're all, you know what? It's sad it took this, but it does feel like this is one thing everyone has an emotion towards. Whatever that is, we all have an emotion right now because we're watching this play out. We watched that video. We're watching I watched another video over the weekend. It was heart-wrenching. It was two black men, one I think he was in his 40s, one in his 30s, and there was a 60-year-old boy who was kind of in there with them, and they were screaming at each other, screaming, the 40-year-old and the 30-year-old, because basically the older man was, I wouldn't say pro-violence, but he was at his wit's end, I would say, and he was not upset that people maybe with them were looting or breaking things, because he felt that words weren't enough and they needed to make a statement. And the younger one, the 30-something-year-old, was saying, no, this has to be peaceful. That is the only way. And then they were screaming at each other. And there was, you know, a kid there. I think they said he was 16. I'm not sure if he was one of their sons or whoever he was. But they kind of brought him into this video, and someone was taking the video of them, and they were screaming that his generation has to do better. They have to figure it out. And that's so much to put on children. The kid was 16. Figure all this out. I mean, holy moly. We haven't figured this out as a country in hundreds of years. To put it on children, we got to help the children. We have to help young people figure this out so the next generation could be better. Like, I would love to sit here right now. I would love to sit here right now and tell you that when I'm 33. 50 years from now, I'll be 83 if I'm still alive. I would love to tell you that I'm not sitting in my home somewhere watching one of these play out again. Like, that's my hope, that as the next two generations happen, that we change, that we don't still have this. But I don't know if that's true. I don't. If you asked me 10 years ago, I would have said, yeah, you know what? By the time I'm old, things will be different. Things will be better. We'll have less of this. There won't be these riots and these protests over racial inequality and police brutality, because, you know, we'll move past that. Generation after generation will get better. Now I'm losing hope. 215-592-9494. Tucker, what are you feeling? What's your emotion?
I feel sad. I feel distraught, frustrated. But I think everyone kind of feels that way. I think the one word I keep going back to is I think it makes me uncomfortable, Joe. And I think that's a good thing, right? I think change and development comes from being uncomfortable. Yeah. And when I see Ike, who I love seeing Ike every day. Ike puts a smile on your face every time you say hello to him.
He's a ball energy.
The studio. And I listen to him talk about how he has to tell his kids, you know, about being safe when they leave the house and making sure that you respect things. And things that when I was growing up, my parents never even had to think about telling me. And realizing that someone that I see every day and I work with and I have the utmost respect for, and I think the world of Ike. And despite the fact that we work 50 feet away from each other at the same exact office, his world is completely different than ours. And
totally different.
We have other African-American people who live here and who are in our lives. And it makes me realize that this world that we are living in, this bubble that we are living in, that I see people every day of color. And I just always assumed, not that their life was the same as mine, but there are so many problems out there that they have to go through on a day-to-day basis. I mean, our last caller talked about being scared just driving home at night. I leave here at 12:30 at night every day, and tonight I'm going to have to walk 6 blocks to my car because I wasn't able to get close enough because all the roads are closed. At no point during that walk or during my drive home will I fear for my life at all. And the fact that a huge portion of this country and the people that we live near and we work with and interact with on a daily basis feel that way, it's just, it's wrong. And like you said, I don't know what I can do differently on a day-to-day basis in my life. I don't know what me coming here and being here and pushing buttons and telling you when to go to commercial breaks. I don't know how that can change anything, but I think at the very least, just because we're talking about it, just because this problem that up until a week ago I just assumed was something that was dealt with 50 years ago, right? I mean, what we're seeing play out on live TV is something that we read about in our history books growing up. It was something that you read about, and they said, you know, Martin Luther King marched during the 60s, and yeah, he got shot, but it fixed everything. That isn't true. And despite the fact that we've kind of been told our whole lives that even though injustice happens every once in a while, it's not a systemic thing. It's just a rare occurrence, but that's clearly not the case. And I think at the very least, just the fact that people are talking about this, the fact that people are aware of this, the fact that people now realize on a grander scale that this is a problem that so many people face on a day-to-day life. It's not a great thing what's happening out there, but I think it's most certainly a step in the right direction.
Well, I hope so. I hope it is. And I hope that we can use this and not forget the way we've seemingly forgotten other ones. 215-592-9494. And I'll throw this in. This is my personal perspective on it. I feel like I'm just talking about myself. I'm not speaking about any other host here at WIP, but I think sometimes I lose sight of the real world because the bubble that we usually are in now, the last 3 months, that has disappeared, you know, the sports bubble. You know what I see all the time? I see very successful, very wealthy, very seemingly happy, very, you know, in good places in their lives, mostly black athletes. Like, I think sometimes I don't see clearly enough what's going on with the real black people. Not just, and not that athletes aren't, but you know what I'm saying. Like, the average everyday person that goes home and goes to work and lives in and around the city of Philadelphia. I don't talk about those people. I don't see them enough. It's just not what I am privy to every single day. I think sometimes I forget that this is still happening. Because you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Andrew McCutchen or Joel Embiid or the best African-American athletes in our city. Like, hopefully they never go through this, but like their lives don't seem like a struggle to me. So I think I sometimes forget. Because I am only talking about ones that have $50 million in the bank and are professional athletes and are famous and are in a good place and have security around them when they go travel and all that kind of stuff. You know, they're more celebrities than they are everyday people, regardless of what their skin color is. They're in a different place than the rest of us. I think I lose track sometimes because I'm caught up in the bubble. You know, I don't think about the everyday person as much as I should. And hopefully this helps me do that again. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Let's grab, we got Matt in Mayfair. Hey, Matt.
Joe, good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
Joe, I got a problem, and I want to discuss it with you, and I need your help. I need you to give me an answer for this problem I have.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, Joe. So I'm a father of three daughters. My oldest is 14, and my youngest are 12, my 12-year-old twins. And my oldest came to me on Sunday and said she wants to go to Center City and protest. Now, I am completely for voicing the opinion of the injustice that occurred in Minnesota. But I told her no, because I did not feel comfortable with her going into that situation. And then she looked at me and she said, Dad, you spent 28 years of your life as a soldier in the Army. And you went away and left me and my sisters all the time to go fight in war. And now you're going to tell me and deprive me of my first amendment or my first constitutional right to peacefully assemble. I didn't know what to tell her. And it's a sad case. It's sad, Joe, that I don't feel comfortable sending her to exercise her first amendment right because of the riots and the looting. Joe, that's the problem I have. What do I tell my daughter? Am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think the feeling you have is one of you're protective. I mean, I think any parent probably would feel the same way, especially at the age you're talking about. My first instinct, Matt, as you're telling me the story, is that you're doing the right thing as a parent, and it is dangerous out there. And if my kids were old enough to understand what was going on and they were closer to that age, I'd probably do the exact same thing and say no. But, I mean, what they threw back at you is – that's also fair. Like you risked yourself for what you believed in, and not that you want to even entertain the idea of them risking themselves. I understand what they're saying. That's a really hard one, Matt.
I mean, it's a sad thing that This country was founded on protest. This country was founded on stop taking the injustice, right? And I fully support what's happening, but the fact that my city is burning because of this, and I know it's not everybody involved. I know that, but I'm not going to send. I don't know what to do. I'm torn about sending my child into that, and I shouldn't have to be in this country after 200 some odd years of existence. I should not have to be.
No, Matt, you shouldn't. It's a difficult one, Matt. I appreciate it. I don't have a great answer. I wish I did. You got to do what you think is right, but man, that's one where I say good luck, and I hope your daughter stays safe if they do go out there. 215-592-9494. I have sadness, I have anger, I have frustration, and I have just a loss of hope on all this. What's your emotion right now? What are you feeling as much the city of Philadelphia, the protests here and around the country? And you know, about a week ago, we watched that video of George Floyd lose his life in a senseless and just disgusting act. 215-592-9494. Tonight we talk, and we talk about everything on your mind on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.